Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right. Teron Davenport in the house. You are now talking with TD. Got Elijah hitting the switches, making it work. And we have another fantastic show for you today. That's right. That's right. That's right. Azeez Ojulari. You've heard me mention his name multiple times. He will be joining the show. We got another guy by the name of Grant Stewart, linebacker from University of Houston. Folks, if you haven't watched his tape, definitely check it out. That dude is a walking heat-seeking missile. And then we got a big boy. Big guy, Brandon Mack, wide receiver, 6'5", 220 out of Temple. You know what I'm saying? We're going to take it back to the Philly days. I'm looking forward to that. But before we do anything, Elijah, you know what we have to do, because we are changing the show and doing it in a different format. And what's the time for?
DMT. For you. Fresh.
Yeah, that's right. You hear that? Run TMC. That means Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders is coming on. We will have Sanders and Saudi a little bit later, but first things first, what's going on?
Man, what's good, man? I was watching Sanford and Sonny. No, I'm not. I was watching the Jefferson. You look like Lionel. That's all I know. You look like Lionel.
Hey, you know what? I was watching the old school Atlanta Hawks games, and you look like a guy who wore number 10 by the name of Johnny Battle. What's going on, man?
Man, I'm chilling, man. I'm good, man. Had a good spring break. Ate about 17 bowls of cereal and watched Judge Judy, and that's all I did, man. Just relax, man. How you doing, bro?
Hey, man, I'm just chilling, man. I'm just loving this weather breaking. You know
man,
what I'm saying?
That's going to blizzard tomorrow.
Hey, hopefully not, but, you know, you never know what happens with this. But speaking of blizzards, I mean, there was a blizzard that kind of ran through the Titans personnel department, man. A bunch of new faces. A guy who's gone and Corey Davis. I watched the presser for Corey Davis. And look, man, like Corey, I like talking to him one-on-one. And I like watching him play. But, hey, I'm not going to miss those press conferences with him.
Oh, yeah.
That's for sure. And, hey, you know, everybody has their different quirks. But he's gone. And now you have Josh Reynolds in the building. And, obviously, Reynolds is not, you know, Corey Davis.
Right.
But – you're a guy that has played a position in the league. What do you like from Josh Reynolds?
Okay, there's a couple of things I like and there's a couple of things I dislike. You know, Josh is 6'3", 196 from Texas A&M. Big kid, smooth, can run routes, kind of what we talked about a little bit. But here's the thing that kind of scares me. He's still at potential, and that kind of scares me. He had 52 receptions last year, 618 yards. But here's the question that I need you to answer for me. Is he a number two receiver? Or is he a number three receiver? And if the reason why I ask that question, the reason why I say that is because in 2020, he had 227 snaps in the slot. So if he's playing in the slot and he's taking Corey Davis's position, is he a number two or is he a number three receiver? That's the question that needs to be answered.
Yeah, and that is a good question, and that's something that I kind of got into, I don't want to say got into. That's something I conversed about with a few of the people on Twitter. I feel that he is a number two in this system.
Okay.
Right? And I think he's a number two with a guy like A.J. Brown. Mm-hmm. And my thing is this, right? We know the coverage is going to roll to A.J. Brown's side. That's what happened mostly last year. And Corey Davis, he was able to eat against one-on-one coverage. I think as long as you could beat one-on-one coverage, you could be a valid number two in this scheme. The other thing that I feel with what these Titans, what they do with the play action and you know, doing those type of things, it kind of sets the receiver up to be able to beat the corner.
Right.
And I think those routes that are favorable, you know, your deep end breaking routes, you know, your play action and you're working double moves off of that once a habit is established, you're doing something off of it. Just deep shots as well.
Right.
I think he has a tremendous catch radius, and that's going to help because it seems like if you just put the ball in his area,
right,
he's going to haul it in. So I would say, yes, he is a number two. Now, is he a high-end number two?
Right.
slash 1A or 1B like Corey Davis? No, but they could get that in the draft with, by a guy named Rashad Bateman.
Oh, yeah, but the difference is you know, there's a different kind of pressure now. You know, when you're the number three receiver, there's no pressure. Okay, I'm coming in on third down, and I'm going to catch a pass, I'm coming back out. He's going to take more snaps. He's going to, you know, he's going to play a lot longer. I'm not doubting the ability. I know he can make plays. I know his catch radius is amazing. But it's a different type of pressure when you're the third receiver, you're the number two receiver. When you're the number two receiver, they're counting on you a lot more. And when you have that type of pressure, can he handle the pressure of being compared to Corey Davis? Because if he drops one ball or accidentally bobbles a ball, everybody's going to say they should have kept Corey Davis. So those are the questions that we're going to have to get answered, and we're going to get those answers we see in camp and we see in OTAs to see, can this guy be a number two receiver?
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And there is going to be pressure, and there's an expectation that's going to be placed upon him to step up. But I think this is why it's very important for this team to get another guy that can help out. I mean, you know, whether it's Bateman, Amari Rodgers, you know, we're going to have him on. Well, actually, we're going to have both of those guys on the show. Elijah Moore, you know, there's plenty of options out there, so they're going to need someone that can step up.
You know what I like, though? That cat from Florida.
Oh, you like Kadarius Toney?
Ooh, I know he's a sly guy, but he puts him up and puts him down. Toney, 5'11", quick feet, fast, you know, electric. I'm not saying he might be an outside receiver. Maybe put Josh Reynolds outside and put him inside. Ooh, let's go eat, Doc.
Yeah, and you know the thing I like about Toney is he's a guy you just try to manufacture touches for, and that's what they did at Florida. You know, sent him in motion, jet sweep. They lined him up in the backfield. They did all kinds of things, and I believe he could play on the outside. Maybe not consistently, but I believe he can do that. I watched him down there at the Senior Bowl. Very consistent with his routes. I thought he actually caught the ball pretty well, which was an issue. You know, at times he had some concentration drops. So I'm with you on Toney. I just think when you look at this situation, they have to do everything they can to make up for the loss on offense, right? Because, I mean, that's where the team lost players that were significant contributors. Well, I mean, Malcolm Butler, you know what I'm saying, for Carl tone setting, but you look at Jonnu Smith and you look at Corey Davis, these were two of Ryan Tannehill's favorite targets.
No doubt.
So you got to figure out a way. And I would love to see A.J. Brown get 150 targets, but, I mean, let's be real, it can't happen. Yeah. So that has to balance out.
Yeah, and they're going to have to find some receivers. And not just receivers. We need some impact receivers, but also we need a fast guy. I mean, Raymond's gone. Raymond's gone. I forgot what team he signed with.
Detroit.
Detroit. He signed with Detroit. So he's gone. He was your speedy receiver. I don't know what they're going to do with Batson. You know, so, you know, we need to find a guy that can catch the ball consistently, but also a speed guy that can take the top off the defense. We know A.J. Brown can do it. I mean, he's not a fast guy. He's great, you know, yards after the catch. But we got to have somebody that when he takes off, it puts fear in the defense to really take the pressure off A.J. Brown.
Yeah, you need somebody to stretch the field. You know what I mean? And I tell you what, I will say this. I love the videos that you're posting. You know, you're running the 200 and the 100. Another guy that ran track and was a pretty good one coming out, and he's coming out of the SEC, and that's Anthony Schwartz. If they could get their hands on a guy like that, I mean, I've been mentioning Anthony Schwartz to the Titans as an ideal match since 2019. Yeah, from Auburn.
Yeah.
And that dude, like, he's not highly productive, but just putting that out there and just letting that run by corners a few times, it's going to change the way things are, you know. And even if he doesn't catch it, you just put it up there, and like, you got that coordinator like, like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? That will definitely have enough of a presence.
Yeah, it's kind of like the situation when they had what was the receiver there from Houston? I know you had Hopkins, and you had the other guy on the outside. I can't remember.
Oh, Will Fuller, who's in Miami now.
Yeah, exactly. Will Fuller. Look at them. Will Fuller's going to take the top off the defense. He's going to run by you. You got Hopkins going to catch a slant, catch it in, and then take it the distance. But if you get that kind of combination with Tannehill, come on, man.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And that's what you have to develop. And I think that's going to be interesting, just seeing how that whole process works. Because remember, for some reason, Tannehill and Corey Davis, they didn't really hit it off as far as connecting a lot. And I found myself after games frequently, you know, asking Tannehill about that. Like, how can you get him more involved? And he just consistently said he missed him, you know. But not having OTAs, possibly not having as much time in minicamp, how will that impact Josh Reynolds? How will that impact a rookie receiver that they select? Yeah. So I think that's something else to consider.
You know, I mean, that's a great point. I mean, because if they don't have OTAs, you need a veteran guy, and I think that's where that's a positive with Josh Reynolds, because, you know, he's been in the league for 5 years and he's been around a system to where they throw the rock. So I don't think, you know, it's going to be hard for him. He's just got to pick up the terminology and understand the concepts of this Tennessee Titans offense. But in actuality, it'd be a plus as opposed to a rookie trying to come in and trying to learn all that at once.
Yeah, I think the transition will be much better for him than it would be for a rookie. And then, you know, the other thing, you look at, and I mentioned the catch radius. I don't know how much of Josh Reynolds you got to watch last year. But
yeah, I watched a little bit of him.
How many times was he reaching behind him and catching the ball, you know, and overextending himself across the middle? And, you know, across the middle, that's not the area where you want to be reaching all the way up and leaving your Chinese spare ribs available for somebody. Had to use the Bruce Lee. I want some Chinese spare ribs. Bruce Lee reference. But, yeah,
that's good stuff, though. He's got good – that just shows that he has good body control. Just you talk about the catch radius, but it's understanding and positioning himself and using his big body to make the big catch. So, you know, he's going to be positive, especially in the red zone. So now if you try to double A.J. Brown – now you got another big guy on the outside that could, you know, get the guy off the spot and stack him, and next you know you got a touchdown because the radius, the catch radius is so high.
Yeah, for sure. Have we talked since the Titans signed Janoris Jackrabbit Jenkins?
No.
Do you have any thoughts on him? I like him a lot.
He's back?
Yeah.
He's pretty good. I mean, he's going to give us some plays now.
Yeah.
He's going to give us some plays, and I think the one thing I love about him is he doesn't remind me of Butler, but he has a tenacity. Like Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
He brings a type of attitude that you just can't teach.
Yeah.
You know,
no.
He brings that swag, that attitude of, hey, I'm a defensive back, you're a receiver, you're not getting by me. That's an attitude that, you know, that he has.
Yeah,
you know,
no.
He's going to give us some plays now. He's going to try to – he's aggressive like Butler, but he brings a nastiness to this team, and he brings an attitude to this defense like Malcolm Butler did.
Yeah, and I think that's something that they absolutely needed after losing Butler for Carl. And you're right. He is going to give up some plays, but he's going to make some too. You know what I mean? Because that dude, he turns the football over. Yeah, you know what I mean? 26 picks in his career. You know, he had 3 last year. He had the pick 6, Tom Brady. He jumped.
I know.
He did what you just mentioned, right? Because the double move, that could lead to him giving up a play because he jumps routes. He jumped that route, picked it up, and you know, took it to the house.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, we're reaching that point where I think, you know, everything so far has been pretty positive. But, you know, it can't all be roses and butterflies. So,
but I'm mad.
What time is it? I'm mad. All right, it is time for Sanders is Salty.
Man, I am furious. Did you see the NCAA women's basketball weight room?
I did.
That's insulting. I mean, we're talking about being equal, and we're talking about bringing each other up, and you make the men's basketball weight room top of the notch, but then you give these women just a little rack of weights and a yoga mat?
A little?
That's very disrespectful. That's not just disrespecting women that are in basketball. That's disrespecting my mom. That's disrespecting my daughters. That's disrespecting any woman to say, you know what, you're not good enough. That's wrong. And you talk about being salty? I looked at that on TV. It just shows you how far we've come. We act like we've come a long way, but it's still the same stupid stuff that we're going on. That big weight room for the guys and then that little weight rack for the women, it's an insult to not just the NCAA, but it's an insult to all women, and I think it's atrocious that they did that.
And then in watching the video, right, because the young lady, I apologize, I forget her name and what school she went to, because that wasn't really my focus. My focus was on what she was showing, and they told her, or they told the people who pushed back about that lack of weight room, that there were space issues. And then she took her phone and showed it around. Like, come on, man, you got to do better than that. So you know, that's a perfect thing for Sanders is Salty. That absolutely is a perfect thing for that.
We got to do better, man.
Got to do better. Got to get right.
Because I'm mad.
Yeah, I just had to say that.
Well, Chris, man, always a pleasure.
Always,
appreciate you,
man.
Talking shop. We'll have to reconvene next week and see what's what.
Let's
I'm sure
it,
there'll be something to be salty about.
Oh, you know me. I know Sanders is salty, baby. Have a good one, boss.
All right, man. You too.
Thanks, man. Okay.
This is Jayon Brown, and you're now talking with TD.
I kind of just want to let it play a little bit. All right, back from the break, talking with TD. You hear the music. Welcome to the jungle. Our next guest is a guy that plays like as if that music is just ringing in his ear on every snap, man. I encountered his play down there at the Senior Bowl, and I just had fun watching him all week, man. We're going to bring in Houston linebacker Grant Stewart. Grant, what's going on, man?
What's good?
Hey, man, everything's good, man. We woke up this morning, so that right there was a win, absolutely.
For sure.
So I want to just, you know, I guess first things first, just watching the energy that you play with and watching the passion and aggression that you play with, how did you develop that kind of attitude and approach towards football?
Well, to be honest with you, you know, I kind of grew up, you know, harshly, had a lot of adversity growing up just from a day-to-day living experience with, you know, my dad was in prison, you know, most of my young life. You know, my mom was addicted to drugs, heavy drugs, still is. And so for me, to be real, I never knew if the lights were going to be on the next day. I never knew what meal I was going to eat the next day. I never knew what school I was going to go to the next month or what if I was going to go to school. But there was always one thing that was always 100% consistent, was that football was going to be played in August.
Mm.
Whether I was, you know, in the East Texas, West Texas, living with my grandma, living with a coach or something, I was going to be playing football, you know, during the fall. And so that was really the only thing forever in my life that's just been really consistent. And so, I mean, whenever I do get out on the field, that's kind of just like how I'm feeling. You know, it's like I'm just excited to be out there and living that part of my life. I kind of feel like a different person once I step on the green. You know, I'm just excited to get the opportunity to be out there.
I mean, that's awesome, man. And that's the truth for some people, right? You know, football is a relief. It's a release. It's an opportunity to get away from the negative things that they have around them. So I'm glad you mentioned that and you shared that. You played football in high school, as you just said. You also ran track. I saw Jim Nagy. He posted a tweet that you hit 22 flat in the 200-meter dash. So let's track is something else that was a part of your background, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was very glad that day. You know, I got some, you know, positive, you know, pub from that tweet and whatnot. But I've actually ran faster than that. It's just not on the I guess online.
Mm.
But yeah, track for me was really, I really thought I was going to be a track athlete coming out of high school. I didn't really run any open 400s after my sophomore year. I was just a relay guy, but we ended up going to state on our relay and got third at state in the 4x4. And that's really what I thought I was going to go to college for, was running the 400-meter dash, because, you know, I could run a 46 around the track. And so really that was kind of my thoughts going into Houston, knowing that they had the number one track program in the nation. I was wanting to dual sport, and when I got there, it just made more sense to play football. So,
and in your opinion, like, why did it make more sense to play football?
Well, I knew that a 46 would, you know, win 48 out of 50 at a state meets in high school, and it would be good for a full scholarship to most any, you know, school in the country. But 46 is probably the fastest that I could possibly run. It's
okay.
Not like I can get faster. And that'd be fine at any other college, but, you know, UH had the number one 4x4 team in the nation at that point. They just told me 46 wasn't fast enough.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
no, I got
was
it.
Like, what do you mean? But I guess it was.
Well, it was fast enough on the football field, right? And you had an excellent path at Houston. You know, take me through that a little bit. You played some running back in the game. I mean, you did a lot there wearing the number 3.
Right. Yeah. So when I first got to the school, there was a position designated for me called nickel. And it was we were playing in a 3-4 defense. And I was what was called a nickel, but it was pretty much like a 3-4 outside backer, except I never, like, lined up on the line of scrimmage or anything like that. I was a space player.
Okay.
You know, I played backup, and I played special teams. And I was, my freshman year, I was number 30. And I played a whole lot of special teams. I was, like, the special teams dude up until the Tulsa game when our starting nickel got injured. Our starting safety got injured, so our starting nickel moved to safety, and I was, you know, set to start against Tulsa my freshman year. And that day in practice, whenever they told me, I tore my meniscus, which, you know, kept me out of the remainder of my freshman year. And by the time I came back to the team healthy, my position, nickel, was gone because all of the people that were eligible to play the position were either injured or we didn't have any players to play that position, so we switched to more of a base defense, and so they moved me to safety my sophomore year, which I had never played a true safety until my sophomore year, and when I was number 3, and I played a good amount of football there, but still most of my play was on special teams, you know, and every time I'd get in there on sub packages or something, I'd get a sack or, you know, I'd make a big play or something or a big TFL, but I just wasn't very consistent. And I really, there was a lot of stuff going on off the field that was holding me back from, you know, figuring out the plays and, gotcha, you know, just being locked in the whole time. And so there was one game, where Coach Applewhite came up to me and he was just like, hey, how many snaps of defense have you played this game? Because everybody knew I was talented. Everybody knew I could make plays and I was fast. And I was like, none, coach. And he was like, damn, you want to run the ball? And I was like, yeah. Like, what's good, you know? And at the time, I had the same number as the quarterback. So they threw a number 35 jersey on me and just threw me in the game and told me to follow the tight end against Tulane. And I got in there. I followed Romello. And I went for, like, 8 yards a carry for 2 games at running back. And then I was at Tulane game, I played all 3 sides of the ball. So
that's crazy.
Yeah.
And we're talking to Grant Stewart, linebacker, University of Houston. And Grant, you know, the next thing I want to go over is switching from number 3 to number 0. What was your reasoning? Why did you do that?
Well, for me, to be real, as soon as I knew the number came available, I wanted it. You know, in high school, I was number 11, and so my number is retired at Houston. Andre Ware was 11 at Houston, the Heisman winner. So I really didn't have an attachment to number 3. And number 0, I had always watched Brooks, I think Aaron Brooks on the Rockets. He was number 0 ever since I was little. And, you know, Russell Westbrook, number 0. All my favorite players usually are number 0 on the basketball court. And to be real, I just liked the way it looked. It was really not anything deeper than that. I just was like, oh, look, 0, I want it.
Gotcha. So, and you wore it well, and you represented, man, 8.7 tackles per game. The thing that I really like about that 8.7 is 5 of those per game were solo. And that's what really stood out to me down in Mobile watching you. And I posted it on Twitter. I said, this Houston linebacker, Grant Stewart, is rocking everybody with the ball. It doesn't matter if it's on special teams, running back, like, inside, everything, and that's what you were doing. What is it about you that allows you to flow to the football the way that you do? Because oftentimes, you're the first one there when the guy's running the ball.
To be real, I think that what sets me apart in from a pursuit perspective is, one, I don't think that there's anybody that I've seen on tape, to be completely honest with you, I don't think that there's anybody that I've seen on tape that matches my effort. I like Troy Polamalu a lot. I think that, you know, he's close. But my effort, I think, is superior to most anybody on the field. I'm going to literally give everything that I have to get there. And aside from that, I'm gifted. The only thing that I really have that's a gift is just my instincts. I'm just very instinctual. Like sometimes I'll go back and watch plays and be like, dang, I don't even remember doing that. Or like, you know, I might do something with my hand or my foot or something that I had not practiced, but it just was the best thing to do in the situation. Or maybe I duck under a block that I didn't even know was there and I go back and look on it. It's just like, you know, instincts of finding the ball carrier and stuff like that. So that's definitely something I've been gifted with, but everything else I think is just effort.
Yeah, you mentioned ducking under blocks, and that's something I saw you doing a lot, like just sorting through that trash and getting to the running back. And there were times where, you know, going back and looking at some of your other, your actual film at Houston, you know, there were times where you were taking on blocks too. And I think just at your size and doing that, that's remarkable to me. Let's talk about Pro Day and what you have coming up. How are you looking at that process? What are you going to be able to do there? How is everything just going to kind of take place for you?
Well, to be honest, I'm kind of thinking about this Pro Day as kind of like how I've been thinking about the past couple of years. Because my sophomore year was probably the last year that I played that I was fully healthy. And, you know, my junior year, I played the entire year with a sports hernia and got surgery on that sports hernia, but the surgery failed. It wasn't a good surgery.
Really?
So I had to play my senior year this past year with the sports hernia again. And it was getting progressively worse throughout the season. And by the time of the Senior Bowl, it was like wrecked. You know, like it was people were surprised I was even competing, you know, once you look at the MRI and stuff. And I wasn't even getting any shots like I was my junior year. So my plan really was like, okay, Grant, like you need to stick it out through the Senior Bowl and right after the Senior Bowl, you know, get your surgery and just go to the, you know, go to the draft from there, you know, and just count on the Senior Bowl. You have to perform well there and then get your surgery. And so leading up to the Senior Bowl, a week prior to it, I mean, I'm training super hard, right? And a week prior to it, I pulled my hamstring. Because, you know, due to my sports hernia, the rest of my body is compensating.
Right.
You know, and so I pulled that hamstring not 10 days before the Senior Bowl, and then 3 days before the Senior Bowl, I pulled it again. It was a lesser pull, but I pulled it again. And so heading to the Senior Bowl, I was like, you know, this is really like my all or nothing here. I have to perform well. I have to show the coaches everything I can possibly show them here. And the biggest aspect of my game, I feel like, is my speed. And I wasn't even able to, like, sprint at all, you know. So that's really what my mindset was going to the Senior Bowl. Like, you know, I'm just going to do my best, control what I can control. I ended up working out, you know, pretty well. And so I got that surgery right after the Senior Bowl. And, you know, now stuff feels way better. And I have, you know, full range of motion in both of my hips. And, you know, I really feel like people have not seen, you know, the athlete that I'm capable of being once I'm 100% healthy. And now I have the understanding of the game that I have now, you know.
Yeah. And go ahead.
Yeah. So, so now with the Pro Day, I'm clear to sprint and, you know, go back to full activity as of April 10th, and my Pro Day is on April 9th. So April 9th, I really want to do position drills just to show them I can move around and stuff. But if I'm not feeling up to it, I'm definitely just going to do the bench press at Pro Day and just hope I interview well. And I've been just completely transparent with everybody, and, you know, that's about it.
Yeah, and I think you are going to interview well, and you're one of those guys, and you don't always see that, at least like from my perspective and talking to different players, that plays like you really love the game and actually loves the game. You know what I mean? And I think that's interesting about you, and I'm sure that coaches are going to really like that and actually love it, you know. So I think you will interview well for sure. Just looking at going back to the Senior Bowl and just the feedback from the coaches and things like that, how did that go for you? What were some of the things that they said? Because I know what I saw, and I would imagine they being there on the field with you saw even more.
Yeah. So what I've gotten from you know, because I've interviewed with every team at this point. And then I've had, you know, second and third interviews with certain teams who I guess have high interest in me. But everything that I hear from them is just about my motor, mm-hmm. is that they just really noticed my motor early on, my instincts and my motor, and they just and they feel like that I'm somebody that they really want to coach because of the way that I approach the game and the way that I, you know, play the game. Everybody just talks about special teams. You know, everybody feels like I'm going to be really great on special teams, and that I can, you know, develop into a player for them on defense once I, you know, figure out the defense and stuff, you know. But they know that immediately once I come in, like, bare minimum, I'm going to be, you know, a great special teams player is what I'm hearing from those guys, just from what they saw at the Senior Bowl and watching my tape.
Yeah, it's obvious. It's obvious because you play with that kamikaze-like approach to it. And it's funny because in watching you, you know, I always like to, when I'm telling listeners about a player and I may not be able to show them film, I like to tell them a player that the guy I'm talking about reminds me of. And Chris Borland, if you remember him with the 49ers, that's immediately what I thought of when I saw you play.
Yeah, you're the second guy to say that.
Really?
The only other person I've heard say that was an Uber driver I had in Philadelphia.
Interesting. Well, yeah, it's there, man, the same type of energy and everything like that. So, all right, so we talked about Pro Day. That's coming up. You said you met with pretty much all of the teams. I know the Titans are a team that would absolutely love your instincts, love your passion. Did you get or recall any conversation with the Titans?
Not since the Senior Bowl, but I talked to them at the Senior Bowl. And it was, you know, that was kind of routine with them.
Yeah.
Kind of just, you know, asked me a lot of questions about myself. But I remember enjoying the meeting, enjoying the scouts and the staff that I spoke with.
There you go.
But no, they haven't reached out to me since the Senior Bowl.
Okay. Okay. Well, you never know. There's still time. It's still over a month, so we'll see what happens there.
Yeah.
But yeah, Grant, man, I really appreciate you coming on, and I definitely, you know, look forward to seeing how this process goes. When you get drafted, you are okay to go ahead and clown me because you know what I said. I said he may not get drafted, but you know, and that's what I was like when you responded to that. I was like, yo, I gotta get it. I wanted to get you on anyway, but I was like, yeah, I gotta get him on now. So man, it's all in fun though, man. I definitely appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. So I wish you the best, man. Take care.
All right, you too.
All right.
This is AJ Brown, and you're talking with TD.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. I had to play my guy, Philly Free Ray, you know what I'm saying, because we got a Philly cat coming on. And this is an interview I'm looking forward to because, you know, coming from the Philadelphia area, I always love to make sure that I get to talk shop with my fellow Philly guys, man. Temple University wide receiver Brandon Mack. Brandon, what's good with you?
No, man, not much, man. How are you?
Hey, man. Everything is good, man. Appreciate you coming on. And I, like I said, I definitely, you know, wanted to give you a shout out, you know, a fellow 215. Well, I'm 267, but it is what it is. But yeah, man, I appreciate you coming on. Let's just talk a little bit about your high school days, just because, I mean, you were a walking punt, pass and kick competitor in high school, man. You know what I'm saying? Quarterback, running back, kicker, punter, wide receiver. How did you manage to get all of that under one resume in high school?
Basically, that just go to my high school coach, just allowing me to show off my athletic ability. He felt as though I was one of the best athletes on my team, so he just let me try different things, any way to get the ball in my hands, play the best defender. When I was on defense, I had to stick the best wide receiver, stuff like that. It was fun doing it in high school.
What made you arrive upon the receiver position at Temple?
So when I first got to Temple, Coach Rule was the head coach, and they recruited me as athlete. So they were just sticking me in, like, any different positions on the field. So I went to, like, DN, tight end, wide receiver, safety. I went to, like, all those different position drills. And they were just like, all right, since you tall and skinny, we're just going to put you at wide receiver right now. And when we throw some weight on you, we're going to see like what you turn out to be.
That's funny. When we throw some weight on you. How did you put on the weight? Because you're, well, you went to Temple in the 180s, right? 187, I think it was?
Yeah, I was like 6'4", like, yeah, between 185 to 190.
Yeah. It was, how did, and you got up to 217, 220. What are you now, 220?
Yeah, right now I'm 220.
That's a lot of weight, man. How did you do it and not get slow?
Basically just buying into the weight and strength coach, what he was saying, and taking a lot of calories, but the right things to eat. They would give me like a little meal plan or a meal sheet, so I had to go grocery shopping, buy the things on that sheet, and then just sticking with it. They would give me like little milkshakes and stuff like that, protein shakes to keep me strong and stuff like that.
Did any of that like come across like strange to you, like, or like how did your system in that? Because you know, not everybody is able to intake all of those calories. Not everybody is able to, you know, drink all of those shakes and things. How did your body just kind of like adjust to that being put onto you?
I mean, at first I was like a little sluggish, a little heavy. I wasn't used to it, but you know, just training through it, just getting through it, then you're gonna learn to adapt and adjust to your body. And just basically also stretching. You stretching to keep your body loose, keep it nimble, so you won't get stiff.
You see that, folks? We offer you, you know, strength and conditioning tips here on Talking with TD, courtesy of the prospects themselves. Brandon, I appreciate that. Obviously, you know, Temple is a school that traditionally is known for basketball, but the program itself, as far as football is concerned, is on the up and up. For you, you know, you have basketball in your background. You know, in addition to all the things you did on the football field in high school, was there any thought to playing both sports or playing basketball anywhere else, or was it football all the way?
No, it was just mainly football. Basketball wasn't really my sport. I mean, I was good at it, but I thought it wasn't physical enough.
Interesting. So let's talk about that then, the physicality as a wide receiver. You have a big body, you know, 6'5", 220. Was that kind of like that thirst for physicality, that wanting to be physical? How did that help you become the type of receiver that you are?
I mean, that's like mainly like my game is being big and physical. I mean, I have like some type of speed, but I like no blazing speed. So me just being big and physical, you start to wear and tear on corners, DB that's smaller than you. So that's like my whole game. I'm going to wear you down. Eventually, you're just going to get tired. You're not going to keep wanting to deal with my physicality.
And we're talking to Brandon Mack, wide receiver, Temple University. Temple tough, you know what I'm saying? Have to mention that. You started out number 88, and then that's the number I wore. I played for Delaware State, then I transferred to Cheney, and I had that number. And as a matter of fact, tattooed on my right arm. So definitely love the fact that you wore 88. But then you transferred to number 1. And that single-digit number, that's a significant number coming out of Temple. So first, let the listeners know why the single-digit numbers are tremendous and why it's important to have that and what it meant to you being able to wear number 1.
Basically, if you earn a single digit, that means that the players on your team and coaches, they all agree on it, mainly the players. They take a vote for the guys who are the toughest on and off the field. So not just on the field, but also in the classroom. You're taking care of your academic meetings. You're taking care of your homework, quizzes and tests. Take care of all of that. You're not failing no classes. And on the field, I mean, you're doing good in the weight room. You're a dog out there on the field. You're doing what you got to do to help the team win. You're doing whatever it takes for the team to win. And I had number 1 for my junior and senior year. They awarded me number 1. And it felt great, to be honest. It was one of my goals that I wanted to accomplish while I was there. I always said that when I was a freshman, when Coach Rule first told us about it. And I always told myself I want to get number 1 again because that's what I wore in high school.
Nice. So obviously you progressed as a player from when you got to Temple and just going to different position groups to being a wide receiver now, who is a guy that will likely be drafted and, you know, play in the league. What were some of the things that you recall as you look back on that progression? What were some of the keys to being able to do that?
Just basically just becoming mental tough. You go through a lot in college. You go through a lot in college football. It's a lot of ups and downs, but just telling yourself that you're going to fight through this every day, making sure you cool, just just your whole mental, the whole mental part of it was the thing that helped me progress. Like you said, just going from different positions with another mental part is like you learn football faster that way. I feel as though like when I learned my coverage is way faster by doing a couple drills, by doing a couple little indie drills with the safeties and stuff like that. I learned my my coverage is way faster, so the game came quicker to me. And also just having older guys help me get through it as well. Like in the wide receiver room, we was like a family in there from when I was a freshman. So anything you need to help with, the older guys is going to help you. I mean, it was like friendly competition basically in there. And that's how I got to where I'm at now.
Who were some of the older guys that you recall that were able to kind of help you see the, not see the light, but, you know, continue the progress?
Keith Kirkwood, he played for the – he just signed with the Panthers, Carolina Panthers. Ventel Bryant also just signed with the Carolina Panthers. And Adonis Jennings, Roger Yancey, just the older guys in there. They helped me a lot.
Did you ever have any kind – because it's funny, right? You mentioned Coach Rule. You mentioned Temple. Obviously, Robbie Anderson is a name that will come to mind. Did you – have you been in contact with him, or is he somebody that, you know, you have that you could reach out to if you have any questions or – request for guidance?
No, I haven't really talked to him. I've seen him a couple times throughout Temple Building, but I never really talked to him. I just talked to the other older guys, like Ventel. I talked to Kirkwood.
Gotcha.
Talked to them a lot.
Gotcha. And then you mentioned the mental toughness part. And, you know, a lot of times, you know what I'm saying, mental toughness, like that's something you develop from personal issues also. And, yeah. You know, obviously, you know, you had the unfortunate loss of your father in 2017. How did you kind of battle through that and just still be able to progress the way that you needed to, if you follow what I'm saying?
For it really started with my mom.
Okay.
Like, just seeing her just not break down and get all depressed over it because she lost her husband, and that's a hard thing, like, on a woman. Just seeing her just keep continue to grind and go to work, get up and go to work every morning, take care of business, handle business, take care of the things that my dad was taking care of. Now she got to take care of it. Just watching her manage life. When I seen her doing it, I'm like, I could do it too. Like, I'm not going to give up because that's just going to add more stress on her life. And also, like, what also helped me get through that was my teammates. My teammates, we was like, they really showed and defined brotherhood because I was at my lowest of lows. I was ready to just stop playing football and just do regular jobs, I guess, and they was just there to help me get through it. They stayed on top of me. They didn't let down on me. They was tough on me, but it was tough love.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. That's what's up. If you had an opportunity to say, you know, at this point right now, about to reach a major goal, a life goal, if you had an opportunity to say something to your pops, what would you say to him?
Probably I won't ever let you down.
Nice.
Just, yeah, I won't ever let him down, won't ever be a failure. I'm going to continue to be successful in life.
So is it safe to say, like, that's kind of like your why right now, that and also, you know, making sure that life is good for your mother?
Yeah, definitely my reason why.
Very valid reason why. Let's spin it forward to Pro Day. And you had 21 teams at Pro Day. I know you said that you ran well, you liked where you tested. How did that whole day take place for you? What are some of your thoughts on it?
The day was pretty. It was a pretty good day for me. From talking to scouts, a lot of scouts didn't have me running under 4.7. So when I ran my 4.64, that was just a good relief off my shoulder. I mean, I wanted to hit in the high 4.5s, but 4.64, that wasn't bad for my size. I'm a 6'5 dude, 220 pounds at the end of the day. But that whole day was pretty cool. I don't have no regrets. I felt as though I did what I was supposed to do. At the end of the day, it's football.
Yeah.
I mean, you lift weights, you do position drills. At the end of the day, it's football. And there's no reason to change up for what you've been doing for years because the scouts out there. They're there for a reason to show off your talent. That's the way I looked at it.
Yeah, no, that's definitely a good approach. And we're talking to Brandon Mack, Temple wide receiver. Brandon, the thing that's interesting to me is when you turn on the tape, you constantly see you going by DBs, right? And catching deep passes. And, you know, mm-hmm. even especially in the red zone, you know, you're able to quickly get by the DB, get that position. Tell me a little bit about the art of stacking a corner, because I think That's something that you do well.
That's the biggest thing to running any route. Because once you stack a corner, you can run any route in the route tree. They don't know which way you're going. You go in or out. So basically, like, when you beat them off the line, that's step number one. You got to win off the line as a receiver, because if you don't, then quarterback more than likely not going to throw you the ball. So that's the main thing of a route runner, is stacking a corner. If you don't stack them, then you're not going to get paid.
I like that. Who are some guys that you watch coming up, man, over the years?
Oh, I watch all the big receivers like Randy Moss, Megatron. You know, I'm a huge fan of Megatron. I even watch Devontae Adams. I like his releases. He's a quick guy. He's a fast guy. I like watching Mike Evans. I like watching all types of receivers, but definitely Megatron was my biggest one that I like to watch, because he's just a big physical receiver out there.
All of those guys you mentioned, for the most part, they're high point specialists too. So I see that in your game, because that's what you do. What was some of the feedback, just as far as not how you performed at Pro Day, but just overall about your game? What's the feedback you got from some of the personnel folks?
A lot of teams thought, they said, okay, we wanted to see how your footwork was. But a lot of teams would talk about moving the inside to like a little slot tight end H-back. Mm-hmm. Because they got me, it's a mismatch between my speed with linebacker speed and my size with safeties and also linebackers. I'm able to go over top of guys' heads, jump balls, win those type of contested catches, things like that. So a lot of teams are talking about moving inside, just probably throwing a couple more pounds and be like a little H-back tight end. And other teams are just like, we like you at receiver also, so we might throw you out there, see how you do.
And you always had that hybrid, right? And I call it hybrid because it's like a power slot. You know what I mean? A Marcus Colston type, if you remember him, number 12 for the Saints. You know, that's a role I could see you playing, where it's just you work the middle of the field and just play basketball.
Yep.
Yeah. So I know you met with the Titans. I know they've shown some interest in you. This is a Titans show, so I definitely have to ask you about that. Do you recall that meeting, how it went, or if anything stood out?
My first meeting was on a phone call, one of the general scouts. They were just asking a little information about me. And then also, they bring up the whole tight end thing. And they said, basically, after all the pro days is done, when they finish doing all their traveling, like, they're going to give me a phone call to see what things is at, to see if they like me or not. And we're going to go from there.
Nice, nice. Well, hey, they got a fellow, well, they lost a fellow 215 guy in Jonnu Smith, who's over there with the Patriots now. So there is a position open, so that could definitely be a match. As far as what's next for you, how does the rest of your schedule, I mean, I would imagine you have, virtual meetings and stuff like that. How are they, like, filling your schedule?
Teams will call their exit for a meeting time, things like that. So basically I set my schedule around the meeting times. I work out store every day, sometimes twice a day. Right now, they're just getting your body right and making sure you stay in shape, because when the team calls, you got to be ready.
Yeah, yeah. Where are you working out?
Oh, I'm up here. I'm back at school. I'm back in Temple working out with my wide receiver coach.
Okay.
Thaddeus Ward.
Okay. Before that, where were you?
I was down in Florida with Matt Gates and Tony Vitale. They call it XPE.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, okay. Yeah, I talked to a lot of receivers that are down there. That's what's up. So you're definitely getting good training, man. So, yeah, well, Brandon, I appreciate it, man, for sure. Definitely I want to keep in touch, see how things continue to go. And I wish you the best on the rest of your trek to the NFL.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate you having me on the show.
Yeah, for sure, man.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on, baby, baby, come on.
All right, back from the break, talking with TD. I wanted to say that music specifically, you know what I'm saying, protect your neck, because that's what a lot of offensive linemen have to turn around and say to the quarterback because of my next guest, and that's none other than Georgia outside linebacker Azeez Ojulari. Azeez, what's good, man?
Yo, what's up, man? I'm good. How about you?
Hey, man, I'm awesome. You know what I'm saying? Especially now getting to chop it up. You're one of my favorite prospects to watch in this draft class, so I'm definitely excited about that. And let's kind of just jump right into it. Just looking at you getting to Georgia, in 2018. Just kind of take me through how you were able to mature into the top prospect that you are now.
Just coming in Georgia, you know, I had an ACL coming in. I just kept my head down, just kept working hard every single day, just get better, 1% better every single day. Just coming in, I was just like, all right, I'm just probably not going to play that much this freshman year. You know, I'm just continue to just improve on my game, get back healthy, just 1% better every single day. So I just kept that mindset going ever since and just kept it with me. I mean, sophomore year, just got on the field, started, you know, more plays, made a couple plays, you know, and then just trying to improve off that my third year as I did, you know, and just kept working hard, just finding little things to just improve my game every year, every day. So it just paid off for me.
And then going back to 2019, the sophomore year, you know, defensive most improved. You were a co-winner there. Leon Farmer Strength and Conditioning Award. I think those are pretty major awards within the team. Was there something that clicked, or was it just a continue of your progression? What happened there?
I feel like it was just a continue of my progression, just coming in, just taking everything serious, you know, body-wise, weight room-wise, nutrition-wise, just coming in, just ready to work every day, ready to get better, ready to get stronger. And it all just paid off.
And I think a part of that was a certain guy that wore number 15 kind of moved on in 19 as well, DeAndre Walker. So I know that presented an opportunity for you.
Oh, yeah, definitely did. Once he left, I definitely had that opportunity to come in, take his spot, take his role, and make a big impact.
And then just looking at you on the field, it's really interesting because you play with a motor, right? And I love the way you pursue and chase down quarterbacks. I mean, you have sacks where you're coming from one side and you're running to the opposite side, almost darn near the numbers, and bringing them down. So what gives you that high motor? What drives you to play that way?
Yeah, just for the love of the game. Just never playing every play like it's your last play, no matter what it is. Just keep getting after every single play. You got to keep that mindset and keep going. That, you know, you never know when the play going to come to you, no matter what it is. Never let your effort betray you. So, you know, it just stuck with me ever since. I've been playing again.
And then just staying along those lines, and we're talking to Azeez Ojulari, Georgia, outside linebacker. Azeez, what do you love most about football?
I just love being with my brothers, man. My teammates, just going through that grind with them, just knowing that it's all going to pay out one day. Just being with them, just having that friendship, that bond that we have with each other, just bonding it out, just winning games, you know, just seeing everybody succeed on the field.
And then just looking back over, if we could just kind of focus in on some of your practice days, right? Isaiah Wilson, you know, what was it like going against Isaiah? You know, he was a really good prospect coming out of Georgia, first-round pick. So what were those experiences like?
Man, I mean, it was great going against Isaiah, man. We got each other better every single day. It was a battle going out there. We were just competing good on good, you know. So just being able to go against him, prospects like him, Andrew Thomas,
right,
it was just great, man, because we definitely got each other better, physical, both physical, athletic. So it was just good on good every day, giving them new things. They're giving me new things. So we just each getting better.
And then as you continue to progress as a pass rusher, what would you say has become your go-to move?
I'll say my go-to move, I call it the long two, long arm with a club.
Hmm.
Yes, sir.
Is that a part of your beat the hands, you beat the man?
Yes, sir, it is, definitely. That long attracts the hands, and once I get them hands, I hit them with the club and I'm beating them.
And it's funny because you mentioned the long arm, you know what I mean, and what you got 34.5-inch arms, you know what I mean?
Yes,
so you're definitely able to get to them first. But getting back to beat the hands, you beat the man, can you let my listeners know what you mean by that phrase?
Yeah, I say this. I use this phrase, but I go by this phrase, beat the hands, beat the man, because, you know, I'm not going to just run through a 350, 330-pound lineman when I'm like, I'm 250, 255, I'm in that range. I like rushing half a man. So I'm just going to take what they give me. If you give me the hands, I beat the hands. You beat the hands, you beat the man. So if you beat them hands, you basically beat the man, because they can't block you without their hands. So
yeah, no, that makes sense.
And then, that's how I go by it.
And then what about some of the counters? Because obviously you can't use the same move over and over again. So what are some counters that you like to go to?
Right. My favorite counters is usually the long punch. So I get my long arm in their chest and try to get them off balance and punch right across their face with my right arm or my left arm, whatever the outside hand is. And I also like the counter scissors. basically a two-hand swipe going inside.
And then let's talk about your overall game, because I think that's something that, as a matter of fact, on Twitter, I've posted multiple videos of you dropping back into coverage. And that's something that no one's really talking about, but I feel, and that's why you are my top edge guy, you know what I mean, because you're a complete player. So let's get into that a little bit. You know, being able to, you know, take that step towards the line of scrimmage, but then turn and move, flip your hips, and run with the running back.
Right. Oh, yeah, definitely. It's part of my game that I do a lot. I did a lot at Georgia. I'm very comfortable with it, too. So just being able to cover backs out the backfield, tight ends, being able to drop in that zone coverage, read the quarterback eyes, break on the ball, I did that a lot, and I'm really comfortable with it. So I feel like that's a big plus in my game, too.
And then we see you standing up, obviously, and rushing the passer or playing at that position. But we also see sometimes, you know, down in that four-point stance. Can you just kind of give my listeners just the difference as far as the viewpoint and perspective between those two?
Yeah, when I'm in the two-point, really probably in mid front or base front, when I'm in that two-point, I can see everything. I can see the field, see the motions, see the backfield sets, whatever it is. I can get a clear view of it depending on what I got to do. Sometimes I might have to drop out that two-point stance. I might have to zone drop, man drop. It depends on what the call I get. And when I'm in the 3 points, usually just hand to foot. Sometimes I might be in the six tech, playing the tight end head up, playing that C gap, hand to foot five, just trying to hold the edge. You know, so I mean, it's just multiple things we did at Georgia, and I did. I'm very comfortable doing both.
What is it about your ability that allows you to do all the things that you just mentioned?
I mean, I just feel like I'm very explosive and flexible. I feel like my bend is like A1. I can bend with anybody, and I'm just very athletic too. So it just really them traits really helped me as a player.
And then I love a pro day. You mentioned Shaq Barrett is a guy that, you know, you've studied a lot of, and it's crazy because that's definitely a comparison. And me, when I watch you, I think of Yannick Ngakoue, but still, it's like great things in a small package. You know what I'm saying? So what is it about Shaq Barrett that you really love so much that made you study him?
Man, just the way he played the game. He's relentless in his pass rush. He just does it all, really. He can get to the quarterback any down, anything. He can stop the run. He's an all-around player. So I really just modeled the way he played. He uses his hands. He uses that longitude. He could bend like anything. He got it all. He got all the traits. So I just love watching him play.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And how about Ngakoue? Because you had a reaction when I mentioned Yannick Ngakoue.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, Yannick is a beast, man. I love the way he played the game, too. Man, the cross chop is sick. That's his best move, just getting to the quarterback, beating the tackles. He's physical. He's long. His arms are, man, he's an all-around player, too, basically. I mean, he's a passionate guy. Just watching him play, he always gets to the quarterback. He's an impact player, too. Strip sacks. He also gets the ball out a lot. He's not going for the sacks.
And the thing with me, why I went to Ngakoue is because of how well he plays the run. And I think that's an aspect of your game that, because everybody says, oh, yeah, he's a sack specialist. No, he's not just a sack specialist. This guy is a three down, and if you want, he'll be a four down player, because I believe you could play special teams if need be. But looking at that, right, like the Florida game, and there were a few, I think the Alabama game, you were taking on like offensive linemen. They're pulling and they're coming to you, and I'm going to borrow a term from Bud Dupree. You were folding them, you know, as they come. So what goes into that?
Yes, sir. I mean, it's just a mindset thing, really. I was shy away from no contact, no matter what it is. And definitely, we go by Georgia. At Georgia, you got to stop the run to just get that opportunity to rush the passer. So if you don't stop the run, you're not going to be able to get that opportunity to rush the passer. So we take pride in stopping the run, definitely here in Georgia. And that just stuck with me, no matter on all levels of the game. Just definitely got to stop the run to be able to get the right rush the passer. So I took that very seriously. And I'm a physical, aggressive run stopper too. So
That's what I'm talking about. You have to earn the right to rush the passer. You have the right understanding there. As far as meeting with teams and conversations, how have those gone?
Yeah, it's been going good. I met with a lot of teams, actually. So we've been on Zoom. They're trying to get to know you, building relationships. You might watch film from the past season. They might show me some of their film, and I relay it back to them. So the conversation's been going great, man. It's been going good.
Any particular teams stand out as far as ones that you've met with?
I met with a bunch of them. You know, you don't really know like who's going to, you know, get you. But, I mean, all of them been good so far. All of them conversations been good, really.
Gotcha. And I know you just say you don't really know or remember, but, hey, yeah. I mean, this is a Titans show, right? And
sure.
Like I said, you're my 1A, you know, at Edge. They have a need at Edge. I got to ask you, did you get to meet with them? And if so, how did it go?
Yeah, I met with them. It was great, man. Just meeting with them, the way they run their defense is great. I mean, they had some similarities to Georgia, mm-hmm. how we did stuff here. So, I mean, it was great, though. So, I really liked it. I loved it, actually. It was good.
Yeah, and they're a multiple front, right? A lot of 3-4.
Right, yeah,
have you gotten to see, like, and not really study, but get a somewhat of an understanding of what they do?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I had on the Zoom call, you know, we went through plays and stuff like that. So I got to understand what they do and how they do it, Darren. So it was good. It was good.
And, you know, DeAndre Walker, he spent a season here. Have you gotten to talk to him at all throughout the process or anything like that?
Yeah, I talked to him a little bit. I mean, nah, we didn't talk that much, though, but we talked a little bit. He just telling me just keep being me, just keep working hard, and just keep doing what I do, really.
Gotcha. And then just to kind of wrap it up, one of the things that always interests me is in talking to you guys, right, judging energy. You know what I mean? And you can't really judge character in this quick conversation. But tell my listeners why there are absolutely no character issues or anything to be concerned about, even love for the game or anything along those lines, with you as a person, as a prospect, as a man, everything.
Oh, yeah, basically because just growing up, my parents always been on me the right way. They raised me right growing up. So just them, I'll give my props to them and everything they had done for me. It just stuck with me. Ever since growing up, just being humble, respectful to everyone I meet, no matter what it is, just respect everyone that respect me. I'm a hard worker, you know, just willing to work and do everything the right way. That's me really growing up, just wanting to do everything the right way it's supposed to be done, and just following the rules. Just that's me really. I'm just respectful, humble, hard worker, man. Just ready to work and it's coachable. So,
I think a really good example of that, Aziz, is you coming back and playing in that Chick-fil-A ball, right? A lot of guys, and
sure.
I don't think there's a right or wrong decision, you know, so
yeah.
I'm not saying that, but
you
said, I want one more go at it with my brothers. You went out there, three
Definitely.
Sacks, a sack to seal the game, sack strip. I think you did your thing there too. But what is it that a team is getting when they select Aziz Ojulari?
Oh, yeah, man, you're getting an all-three-down player that's relentless, play the run, rush the passer, even drop the coverage, also play special teams, that's a relentless ball-getter, can force fumbles, effort is never a question, and a player that's very coachable and respectful to his teammates and just wants to win. The player that just wants to win every single thing. He wants to win in everything. He's a competitor. That's what you're getting to me.
That's what I'm talking about, man. I'm smiling ear to ear about this, man. I appreciate you coming on, man. I wish you absolutely nothing but the best going forward.
Appreciate you.
I mean, you can tell my excitement. I hope you do end up here because it'll be good to continue, you know, covering you. So thanks a lot, man. Take care, be safe, and I wish you the best.
Yeah, appreciate that. No problem, man.
All right, now.
All right, bye.